Okay, so today's learning, welcome back. Today's learning should be a schus ilin nishmas adir kavachaim ulaz avenchim shinariyeh, as well as a schus for an ilin neshama for Yaakov Yosef ben Chaim Menachem ben Tzion, and should be a schus for a fuah shleima chaim doeg ben menorachel, chaim aleiha b'shein derachel, and abadati ben peril, as well as a schus for all those in a makam sakon and it's showing those risking their lives to protect it. So we are talking today about halva. We're continuing with this topic of lending money, and I found a very interesting idea that is relevant not just to lending money, which many of us aren't, is not really relevant to us. You know, when we were in fifth grade, we lent $5, you know, to some other kids so we could buy a pack of Torah cards in yeshiva, or buy a soda from the machine. But nowadays, most people aren't involved in lending money. But there is an interesting point that he does bring out today, which I thought is relevant to other parts of our life. So let's see, we're on page 702. Excuse me, he says like this. Let's say someone who's not so trustworthy is coming to borrow money. You should not lend him money, except with collateral. Even better, that you shouldn't only point out and do this procedure for people who aren't trustworthy, but you should do it for anyone. So not to embarrass someone who you don't trust, but not to create jealousy and hatred between him and other borrowers. Therefore, it's even better that everybody knows about him, meaning about you. You should be the type of person that everyone knows, even your friends know, that you don't borrow money from you without collateral. Even the king, he says, furthermore, you know why it's a smart thing? Because you never know what tomorrow brings. There are many people that went to bed rich and woke up poor. That's why Chazal say that when the Shlomo Melech says that when you have collateral, you have peace. And he says another piece of advice that when you are borrowing, when the borrower is a wealthy person, then you should try to make some money off of the deal. Now, chas v'shalom, in order to grow the money that you have to lend. Now, chas v'shalom, he's not talking about taking interest. What he's talking about is you charge a origination fee. And the origination fee is a flat fee. It's not tied in any way to the length of the loan. And that you should charge wealthy people to make some money, and that will increase the principal that you have available. Ach, but la'ani, when it comes to poor people, you should not charge them origination fee. You should lend it to them without any charge. Let's say you know that the person borrowing is so poor that he doesn't have anything to offer as a mashkin. Then get from him a worthy guarantor, someone who will represent, who consent to pay the loan if he defaults. Let's say he finds even a honest guarantor he won't be able to produce. You have someone who's really poor. That if he asks for a small amount of money, that you can bear the loss. And he has the presumption of being an honest man, and he has a way to somehow pay off the debt. If in such a situation, so you could lend him one time based on his word. He's saying like this: saying you're lending money to someone, and the guy doesn't have any collateral, and the guy is not going to be able to find any arev, anyone to be a guarantor. But you know that he's in need, and you also know he's an honest guy. And you want to help them. So you lend them amount of money that you can afford to lose. And this is really something that applies to a lot of areas of our life. When we go into a business deal, when we invest, very important, Shia, you'll back me on this. Don't invest money you can't afford to lose. Don't, and here he's saying the same thing, don't lend money that you can't afford to lose. If you're lending to someone who has terrible credit, but he's in desperate need, don't give him the money. Unless A, there's some plan, how is he going to pay you back? What's the business plan? What's the model here? How is he going to come up with the funds to pay you back? And B, be okay with the fact that you may lose the money, and don't use money that you need yourself to live. He says, and give him one loan of a moderate sum, but don't give him a second loan until he's finished paying off the first one. And then when he finishes paying off his loan, you'll be a Rachman to him and give him a second loan. But you see here, he's talking about don't let yourself be taken advantage of. And that's a very important idea, is that when people come to us for collecting money and our hearts go out to them, a lot of times we let ourselves be taken advantage of. And we maybe give more than we should, or we give more because we feel pressure. What he's telling you here is that unless it's someone that you know is an honest person, and you can afford to lose that money, you should not be giving out money to somebody who you don't know. And you should not be giving a loan to somebody that can't produce a business plan, cannot produce a way how he's going to pay you back, cannot produce a collateral, cannot produce an arev, all these various factors that he's putting into play. You don't just make yourself out to be a shmata. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from you, to use the money. Remember, the money was given to you to use in the right way. And don't think that sometimes turning down a tzedakah opportunity, sometimes that's the right thing. And that's really the lesson that I saw here that I wanted to share with you. Of course, to give $1, to give $5, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a substantial sum where sometimes you feel bad, but maybe it's not the right tzedakah to be giving that amount of money to. And you're doing it because you feel bad. What he's saying is just because you feel bad doesn't mean that that's the right thing you should be doing with the money. He says, don't be fooled just because someone paid you back a few times. So you have here, he's going to talk about a guy who plays the long game, who he borrowed, let's say he borrowed $1,000 five times, and each time he paid you back. Now he's playing the long game. He really wants to make off with 100 grand. So he borrows 1,000, pays you back, borrows 1,000, pays you back. Now he worked up his credit with you. You trust him. He says, be careful that unless you really know that someone's trustworthy, not to increase significantly the loan. He says, there are swindlers who will take small loans repeatedly and pay them back. Again, playing the long game, until they have established themselves as trustworthy. Then you're going to lend them a large sum. And he's going to walk off with your money. Don't increase indiscriminately the amount that you have available to lend. And continue to lend them only the same amount. Even on the condition, in the end, that the man will never return it, as we said above. Only lend money that you potentially could be okay never getting back. Someone, let's say you have someone who you know is a swindler. Now you feel bad because his children, the guy may need to make a chasana. He ripped off people. He ran a Ponzi scheme. But Nebuch, his children, you feel bad for his wife, his kids. They need the money. But what are you going to do? You're going to lend this guy money? He's not trustworthy. He says, when it comes to someone who Taka is established to be a rabbi, don't lend him any money without having collateral. And be okay refusing to lend unless he comes up with something. In order to ensure, now the problem is, he's giving you this advice. I'm sort of laying it out in terms of maybe tzedakah, but now you're gonna have your Yetzirah come, and Yetzirah is gonna tell you everybody's a Rami, and don't trust people, and don't give tzedakah, and don't lend money out, and that's wrong. So how are you gonna be able to differentiate between what's the Yetzirah telling you not to do it, and what's the right thing not to do it? So he says, in order, and Yetzirah, that the Yetzirah shouldn't convince you that everybody's a liar, and to therefore never lend anyone money without a mashkan. There are people that are worthy of such a loan. It will come out that you are closing the door in front of lenders, or rather in front of borrowers. Most people are not like this. Many times people cannot. People are desperate enough that they're coming to borrow money, or they're coming to ask for tzedakah. So especially when it comes to lending money, borrowing money, they don't have the collateral to put up. Actually, nim dami lil voice. In the end, you're not going to lend at all. So you have to understand why you are establishing someone to be untrustworthy. And therefore, the person has to really ascertain whether the person that's borrowing from you or that's asking you for the loan is really a a deceiver. I am who Atzas Yitzray or it's your Yitzhahara talking to you. What are the factors that are convincing you that the person is not trustworthy? And maybe talk it out with someone else to make sure that you're being objective. You should imagine for yourself between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's say someone came to you. He says, here's one way to talk it out. He says, let's say the guy would come to you with a perfectly thought out business plan. Okay? A perfectly thought out, it makes sense. The guy has tapped into something in the market or in the industry and an efficiency, and it's clearly thought out, and he just needs capital. And he promises you 50% of whatever he makes. Would you back him? If you would back that person, who obviously is a competent person, a trustworthy person that you would go into business with, if you would do business with the guy, then obviously you need to lend him money. And if you're not lending him money, it's not for the right reasons. He says, if so, let him calculate the reward of the mitzvah against the profit that he would make. And then be willing to lend him again that same amount of money that you would invest. Be willing that again, obviously, if you can afford to possibly lose it, but be ready to give it to him without collateral. But let's say you wouldn't trust him. Let's say it's Bernie Madoff. You would not trust that guy, no matter what. So then, Taka, if he's not going to give me a mashkin, I would never go into business with this guy outside of the loan. And therefore, you have a right to insist on a mashkin. And if he won't produce a mashkin, you have a right, he says, to refuse the loan. So again, a very important yisoid, which is in Yiddishkeit, don't be a shmata. We feel bad. We have rachmanis a lot of times, and we let ourselves be taken advantage of. We let people ask us things of us, and we end up making commitments. And a lot of times, we regret it. And that's the worst thing is while we're doing it, or while, right after we do it, we regret it. We really have to be mechazik ourselves before. To recognize that this person stop and say this person taking advantage, and many times, unfortunately, it happens with family, where a sibling or a cousin or a parent or whatever the situation is, but someone will come to you in desperate need of money, and we have to decide. You have your spouse maybe telling you yes to do it, not to do it, but the point is you have to really take into account and not be taken advantage of, and not just say, well. The Torah says I have to help people. Clearly, the Pele Yoetz is saying, I understand you have to help people, but you also have to protect the money and safeguard the money that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. And Yaakov Avinu went back for Pachim Ketanim. He went across the Yabbik River in the middle of the night to get some Pachim Ketanim because mammon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, money that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, is safe. You have to take care of it. You have to safeguard it. And so you don't have a right to just lend out money haphazardly without considering the credit worthiness of the person who's borrowing. And so we have to, make sure that we're not being taken advantage of, talk it out with people, make sure we're making a choice that makes sense.